Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. This is Rich Wilson, and welcome to Fantasy Baseball Live. We are here this evening. It's actually, I think, in the East Coast. I think it's 12 a.m. on Thursday. Tim and I are both on the West Coast, actually both in the Phoenix area. I'm unfortunately not with him watching baseball. I'm here for another reason, and it is once again chilly in Phoenix, where I'm in this hotel room, and I have the fireplace going. So that's how cold it is, and I am kind of bundled up in the jacket. But Tim and I had a chance to catch a game on Monday, which was just awesome. And when he gets in, we'll talk about that, talk about his experiences so far in the AFL, see what that's what's going on there. We'll also talk about the Red Sox being the champs. The World Series is over. It's done. Just depressing, right? I mean, it's just – it was just over, and now there's no more baseball. Just, I don't know. I don't know how to react. It's a little weird. And then we have a special announcement. For those of you who always have wanted to play in a dynasty league, we have a couple of openings, and we're going to talk about that at the end of the show. If you want to get a hold of us, you can go out and get me on Twitter. We'll let Tim tell you where you can find him. You can get me on Twitter at RichWilsonP361. If you would like to go out and rate and review us, please go to iTunes and do that. And again, if you'd like to support the show, you can also go out to our website, prospect361.com. Please read our material, lots of prospect information out there, and also visit our sponsors. There are affiliated links on the right-hand side with StubHub, MLBShop.com, Steiner Sports, and of course Amazon.com. If you go and click on those, Tim and I get a little bit of commission associated with that. Anything that you purchase there, anything, actually click that on, anything you purchase at Amazon.com over the next 48 hours, I think we get a little bit of credit. That's how all that stuff works on the internet, by the way, called affiliated links, and that's how people monetize their site. That's what we decided to do. We appreciate you guys visiting that. Without further ado, let's bring on the man, the myth, the legend himself, Mr. Tim McLeod. Timmy, good evening. Timmy, good evening. Tim is gone. Tim just dropped. Hopefully he will be back on. Hopefully we're not having some technical difficulties at all. But back to, just to baseball. I mean, let me tell you what we're going to be doing with the show over the next, I guess, 4, 5, 6 months as we get into preparation for draft and then next season before the game start. Probably this month, coming into November, a little light, probably talking a lot about free agent signings, where guys are going to sign, et cetera, and then we will finally get into draft preparation. And Tim and I have already talked. He's already busy working on the draft preparation. Hopefully at the end of the year he'll do that. And then we're going to have 2 or 3 mock drafts this coming year for you guys to listen. Some will get a chance to partake in, just trying to give you as much information to get ready for those drafts. Timmy, are you with us? There's no Mr. McLeod, good evening.
Good evening, Rich. Sorry about that. It just wasn't calling through.
No worries, Timmy. You're there.
Yeah. When in doubt, have a long-distance U.S.-to-U.S. phone package added to your cell phone.
That's great. How are you, my friend? Long time no talk.
Yeah, I am absolutely awesome, Rich. And before we get rolling here, I got to tell you, I was totally, totally impressed. I never would have in a million years guessed that you would have went to the lengths you went to for that steak and liquor bed and that pineapple crush. You just can't beat it. Thanks so much.
So just to get everybody up to speed. So Tim and I did our steak and liquor bet. Justin Hughes came on to reveal. I didn't even know somebody was tracking it, that I made a dumb bet the last week of the season and lost 4-3 or something like that. And I needed to pay up. So Tim and I got together in Arizona. I came out just to sit down with the game with Tim, which is pretty funny. And, you know, I trying to figure out what to do, and Tim doesn't really drink. I don't drink. And I know we couldn't go out for steak. So we could either get a dry piece of pizza there at the thing, or I decided, you know, when we had Justin on, we were talking about Little Debbie's, and I asked Tim what was his favorite thing from Pepsi, because Tim worked for Frito-Lay and Pepsi for years, and he said he loved the Pineapple Crush, but you could only get it in two locations. So off I went to try to find the Pineapple Crush, and went to good old Amazon.com. You can do that through Prospect361.com, by the way, and ordered it, Timmy, and they brought it. They got a 12-pack for me, and I brought in, I think, 4 cans. Funny, when I went to the airport right after seeing you, I forgot to take one of the cans out of my bag. And when I checked it through, somebody goes, "Do you have a soda can in your bag?" I'm going, "Yes, it's Pineapple Crush." So one of the TSA agents has, you know, the final Pineapple Crush that I bought you, that I brought, that wasn't able to give you. But Amazon.com came through and imported it in from Canada, Timmy. So I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Yeah, I'm still enjoying it, Rich. I'm rationing myself to one a day, and I skipped a day. That way I can have a Pineapple Crush for every day that I'm in Arizona.
I would have brought more, Timmy, but my bag was heavy enough, so that's all I could do. That's all I could do. So Timmy, why don't you tell us, first of all, what have you been doing out there that's been, I mean, besides going to games, I think you've been meeting up with listeners and having dinner with people, and tell us all about it.
Yeah, no, I really don't know where to start, so I might as well start today. Went out to Surprise today, and the big surprise was Vladdy wasn't playing. But one of our listeners, longtime listeners, and his friend Daniel Bayless and Chris met them at the park, and we watched a game. And after the game, we went to for supper. Had a great time, and hey, it's really cool because Daniel.
Hang on, Tim. So let's review.
Okay.
So supper is. What time is supper? You can have supper at what time in the afternoon or evening? Does it have to be after a certain time?
No, because, one of the benefits about being in Arizona, right, is you can have supper on Arizona time, which is already an hour past my regular supper, right? So supper here. That's 4 o'clock, and it's actually 7 o'clock. So that makes it a late meal at an early time, right?
I might be tracking you. I'm not. It's a little late for me, Tim. I think I understood that. What did we decide that dinner was versus supper? I can't remember where we concluded that.
I don't think we ever did, and I think the odds are pretty good that we'll never resolve that one.
Okay. All right. So you went to supper with Daniel and his friend, and did you go someplace nice, Tim, or what's the deal? What'd you have to eat?
We went for Mexican, and Daniel wanted me to mention to you, because he seems to recall you saying, like, all the best restaurants are in Scottsdale. But we found a nice Mexican place in Surprise, and it was awesome. I don't know what I had, but it tasted real good.
Yeah, Surprise is not the greatest little area of that Phoenix metropolitan area, but I'm glad you were able to find something there. I do think the better restaurants are in Scottsdale, but hey, there's nice places everywhere. I'm in some place called Kierland, Arizona, which is it's 51.
Hello? You there? Hmm. Are you there, Rich? I heard the guitar track fade in, fade out, but I can't hear anything. You there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. The last I heard is you were in, and then it ended. You were gone.
Yeah, I don't know, Tim. We've been having some trouble with Blog Talk Radio. I don't know. But anyway, we're back. So we're going to pick it right back up. So, Tim, you were out with friends, had supper, and then I'm here somewhere in Phoenix as well. We're probably not going to be able to get back together the rest of the week because my schedule is pretty packed. But tell us how the games have been.
Yeah, the other thing I wanted to let you know, Rick, is I'm learning to drive like a native resident. I made my first, U-turn at a busy intersection tonight. I'm so proud of myself.
Don't you think that people drive very fast here?
They drive fast. It's totally insane, Rich. It almost feels like bumper cars. I saw three accidents today, on the, was it the 101 or I-10? Like, it's like bumper cars. It's nuts.
Every time I come to me, it's the same. I think people drive too fast, and there's lots of fender benders, and, I'm sure people say, well, there's no different than it is in other parts of the country, but it sure feels like that they've got a traffic issue here, and people just need to slow down, but I don't know.
I totally agree.
Yeah. So, Timmy, we had a chance to catch a game, and we saw Vlad, and it sounds like you were at surprise, and Vlad was not there. That's disappointing.
That was a surprise, Rich.
Yeah, for sure. So give me your, first of all, why don't you tell our listeners, what did you think of Vlad?
Bat speed, phenomenal. Quick hands. That's coming from you, and yeah, I totally support that. The arm is great. He made a couple of great catches. The game that we saw, and I think he's going to be okay at third base. The only concern I have is pretty much the same one I had going in, and that's body type, but I don't think he's going to be long for the world at third base, Rich. He's going to move to first base, and he's going to be a star. I'm convinced of it.
You have to admit that body's not great.
No, it's not Mad Adams bad. But
it's Ricky Weeks. It's Ricky Weeks.
Yeah,
he's got
Ricky
that
Weeks
high butt.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what? He's 19 years old. He hasn't even finished growing yet. And who knows what the finished product's going to be, but I know if he doesn't look after himself, which I highly doubt will happen, but if he doesn't look after himself, it could get ugly, couldn't it?
I totally agree with you, Tim. I totally agree with him. And that's I just wrote a very long article about Vladimir Guerrero Jr. I'm going to post it out actually on our site. He was so impressive to me, and at 19 years old, Timmy, I think he's going to hit 300 in the major leagues. He is that special.
Yeah, I'm totally convinced it'll be 3 weeks into the season he'll be called up, and away we go. The only concern I have is not per se in dynasty leagues. It would be in redraft leagues. And I think he's going to carry a fairly hefty price tag in redraft leagues. And I don't know if he's going to earn it in 2019. What are your thoughts?
I think he'll earn it, Timmy. I mean, I think he's going to be a third or fourth round pick in a 15-team league. There's going to be a little bit of speed. I think he'll steal five or six, seven bases. It's not going to be void of speed. So I think there'll be some of that. I think he's going to hit 300. I really do. I think it's probably going to be 20, 25 home runs. Is that third round pick? I don't know. I mean, it's probably close.
Yeah. One thing that did impress me, I've seen him, I think, in two games now, and he's got a good arm. He really does. You know, you look at the AFL, and you see a fair number of poor throws coming in from your middle infield, your corner infielders across the diamond, and I haven't seen him make a bad throw yet. They've all been on the money, and they've all been strong. Now, the lateral movement and the fielding is not going to be great, but I was really impressed with his arm. What are your thoughts on that? On the D?
I thought so too. I mean, yeah, it's definitely he's got an adequate arm. I think he's going to be fine there for the next few years. It's all about the body, Tim. At 19 years old, your body's not supposed to look like that. He's just big. And I wouldn't call him void of athleticism. I mean, you know, look, it's a terrible comp. It's a little Pablo Sandoval-ish. It's not a great body, but Sandoval moved really, really well when he was younger. And then his body just got so large, he couldn't, the athleticism went away. And I think that's what we could see with Vladimir Guerrero Jr. But I think you're talking a couple of years out before it becomes a problem. And after all, he is 19, 20 years old, and he's going to have that young athleticism. And I think he'll be just fine there for the next few years.
Yeah, the only concern I would have next year is whether or not we see the – you know, I think you can pick a number between 15 and 30 for home runs. Does that seem reasonable?
I would say more 20 and 30. And you didn't get
okay.
Did you see him in batting practice at all?
No. I haven't had that opportunity
significant.
Yet. And I don't think I will.
It's significant raw power. It's significant raw power. So,
wow.
But Timmy, you're looking at an 80 grade hitter. What you saw in those two games, what you and I saw, that's the definition of an 80 grade hitter. Just able to barrel the ball up, just swing power to all fields. I mean, that's it. I mean, he's got great command of the strike zone. That's what an 80-grade hitter looks like. That's what Miguel Cabrera, Albert Pujols look like. That's what Vladimir Guerrero Jr. looks like.
Yeah, no, I was impressed. Of the crop that's down here, he is definitely heads above everybody else. You know, it's not even close.
Yep. It reminds me of Chris Bryant when Chris Bryant was here. Chris Bryant was just so much better than everybody else. And, yeah, it's going to be exciting. And he'll spend the first 3 weeks down in the minor leagues, and then he'll be up. And,
yep.
It's just the way the rules work. So, Timmy, who else? Did you get a chance to see Jordan Yamamoto?
Yes, I did. And I loved everything that I saw. I loved it. He has a pitch, a breaking ball. He's a righty. And he was throwing it to right-handed hitters. And I don't know if it was a curveball. It was definitely off speed. But it basically looked like an inside pitch and had hitters bailing on it. And then it just ducks right down, sweet as silk, right into the strike zone. And it locked up two or three hitters. I was impressed. And the velocity, yeah, it's better than Tommy Malone, but, you know, he's not going to throw the ball at 95 miles an hour. But I don't think he has to with the caliber of breaking stuff he has. I was really impressed. I love watching him pitch.
Yeah, I mean, 90 miles an hour from the right side, not great. But, he can pitch. And you're right, the breaking stuff is pretty effective. And I don't know if I had more breaking pitches and fastballs than Usani, but he pitches off his curveball.
It's cool. He's definitely worth the price of admission down here for sure. He's one of the better pitchers I've seen. Haven't seen Whitley. Won't see him until Saturday when he's starting the Fall Stars game. But
I wonder how many innings. I wonder how many innings he'll pitch. It's probably one or two.
Most often the starter goes two innings, I think.
Okay.
In that game. So I figure two innings, and that'll do it.
So
who else have you been impressed with since you've been down there? Anybody else that sticks out as, you know, somebody that you're really encouraged by what you saw?
Well, you know, Dalton Varsho.
Yeah, great. That's not a good body either, right?
Well, it's a good body. There's just not enough of it there, okay?
He looks like a little bowling ball out there. It's very interesting.
Well, you know what? The kid can run. He can really, really fly. And you know what? I'm looking at the stat sheet right now, okay? 5'10", 190, okay? I'm calling BS on that. There is no way earth he is 5'10". I don't think he's 5'7".
Yeah, I agree. I think it's 5'6", 5'7", and it's probably 210. I mean, he's a little round guy that you look at him and if you see him run, you go, you shouldn't be that fast, but he's fast.
But, yeah, man, he gets those little legs moving, and they go. Who else have I liked? I saw DePlanter yesterday, the Arizona pitching prospect.
Uh-huh. What did you think of him? I didn't get a chance to see him.
He's a slinger. Okay. Mm-hmm. And he's a big, strong kid. He got hit a little bit, but he went five innings, struck out, I think, five or six. I think there's a possibility we see him in the second half next year. The motion, it was like a right-handed Bumgarner. You know, they whip around quick. There's some deception there. I liked what I saw.
Did you see his teammate Jazz Chisholm?
He didn't stick out to me. Pavin Smith did, though.
Okay. Oh, really? Because he's had a really rough Arizona Fall League. Tell me what he did.
I thought Smith has had a good one. I thought he was batting over 300. He got showed up late, I think. But no, he was squaring up to the ball well. I was impressed. I was impressed with what I saw out of Smith. Monty Harrison, A Tale of Two Cities.
Tell me what you think.
Okay.
Say that again.
Of Harrison. Oh, Monty Harrison, A Tale of Two Cities. You know, I saw him in two games. The one game, he struck out three out of four at bats, mm-hmm. and looked like he did not have a clue. Second game, I think he went 4 for 5, stole a couple bases. He might have hit a home run as well. He looked all world. So you know, you look at the strikeouts at Double A, and I keep thinking that he could – you sort of have to hang on to because the tools are there. He's not anywhere close right now, but I could see an Aaron Hicks sort of career or out of the game. Does that make sense?
Yeah, the Marlins haven't come out yet, and I actually comped him to – Brinson. You know, I think it's these guys that are tooled up. Harrison's probably more tooled up than Brinson is, but the swing and miss is frightening. I mean, it is frightening. It's 215 strikeouts. I think I'm going on memory in Double A.
220, I think.
That's not going to work. Okay, that's not going to work. So
no.
and you know, it's a problem. It's a flat-out problem. So I think you're right. He could be a late bloomer, like hopefully Brinson will be. He could be a late bloomer like Aaron Hicks is or Carlos. He's one of those guys, or he'll never amount to anything. You know, he'll be a fifth outfielder kind of guy. But, boy, the tools are alluring. And what you saw is what we're going to get. Lots of strikeouts.
Yeah.
It's four up, three strikeouts, and then you'll get to a groove and close his eyes and hit something, and it's going to – good stuff will happen.
Yeah. I saw Bobby Dalbec today, and, the power is real. The kid can hit the ball. The kid can hit the ball a long, long way. He launched one today, and I was impressed with what I saw. Esteban,
but
do you know that
he's been in the minor leagues for 3 years, and he has yet to have at any level to have strikeouts less than 30%.
I'm not surprised. No, I'm not shocked by that fact at all. He's far
that
from
gonna,
a finished
that ain't
product.
Gonna work either. That's not gonna work either. So it's funny because I wrote up the Red Sox organization, and that's a tough one. And there's no guy that stands out. I mean, you could say Dahlbeck. I mean, was it 26 home runs, 28 home runs. It was a lot of home runs, but I mean, the strikeouts are frightening. And you could put Chavis there, Jay Groom there. I mean, there's nobody who is like heads and tails above that. And it's that's the state of the Red Sox. So.
Yeah, Juarez, him and Varsho should be on the same team, because I don't think combined they're much over 10 feet. Just a little guy, eh?
yeah.
But I saw him yesterday.
Anybody disappoint you? Anybody disappoint you?
No, I set the bar fairly low, so there was nobody that. I shouldn't say that. Biggio, I don't think there's anything there. Sorry, I'm not hanging my hat on Kevin Biggio being a major league player, at least not for any length. He swings hard, but he swings hard. How's that?
So it's funny, Timmy, it's the first time I've seen Kevin Biggio, and obviously, Craig Biggio's son, so I mean, he's got the bloodlines,
right.
And you look at his stat line, and I think it was 100 walks, if I'm not mistaken. 100 walks, 120 strikeouts, or something like that, and you go, wow, okay, well, that's really controlling the strikes, and so that can come from two things, Timmy. That can come from one, you really do understand balls and strikes, or two is you're passive and just don't want to swing the bat. And you don't know that until you see him. And I've seen him now in 4 games, and he likes that. He likes to feel that bat on the shoulder. He does not like to swing. It's like, maybe he's got a little, maybe it's a massage thing there that he's moving it to warm up his shoulder or something, but it's a passive approach, and he needs to get over that. He needs, you can be too passive and not aggressive enough, and I think that's where Biggio is at the moment. He's got some tools, he got a little speed, a little pop, but man, I'm worried.
Yeah, and you know, Rich, I'm going to leave Daniel Woodrow to you, okay? I'm going to pass.
Really, Timmy? Come on, he's your guy. I'm telling you, he is Charlie Tilson.
No, he's not. He has to work hard yet to get to Charlie Tilson's level, Rich. Okay.
He didn't do anything for you at all.
I think I'll pass on that.
Wow, I thought I had you there because he didn't make my top 15 in Detroit. But every game I saw, he was on base. He was just slapping at balls and getting on and stealing bases. When I saw him, that's what he was doing.
Yeah, Jeremiah Jones for the Angels. I like what I saw there. He's not going to be
good.
I think he's going to be up fairly soon. I really do, because, and again, it plays into the opportunity thing, because who's blocking him? Fletcher?
Yeah.
I could see him up fairly soon, like what I saw.
Okay.
And, of course, our Boston pitcher, Hernandez. Serious man crush coming up there, Rich. Serious. If you want him, you better take him right away, because Timmy's going to swoop in with that and grab that Boston southpaw.
Yeah, it's I almost made him number one. Think he might go to the bullpen at some point, but it's going to be tough breaking into that Red Sox starting rotation. But yeah, there's definitely something there, and he's a guy that's really popped up, and the stuff is real. It's very real.
You know, who sort of bummed me out in a way, like, he did everything right, okay, and I think he's leading the league in RBIs, but I was expecting something different from Keston Hiura of the Brewers. And
yeah, I think
his
last name is
Hiura.
Last name is Hiura, Timmy. I don't think you pronounce the I, so it's Keston Hiura. So
Hiura, okay. Off
but
to a good
not
start.
Impressed, huh?
I mean, well, I was really impressed, but the body type. I don't know. Maybe he's wearing the wrong size jersey that day. I don't know. I just didn't like.
Yeah.
Like he, you know what I mean? Like he wasn't heavy or bulky, but it just, you know, he's no Monte Harrison. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, you look, Timmy. I I've been doing this a long time, and I watch a lot of games. And look, I'm the first one to tell you, I fall in love with body types, man. I love the chiseled guy that, you know, the
right.
I mean, Monte Harrison is a guy you love because he looks like an athlete, he walks like an athlete. And then Keston Hiura comes up there, little dumpy looking. He's not fast. I don't know how he's stealing bases. I got him going down to first base, I think at 4.36. I'm going from memory of that. I mean, that's an average to below average runner. I mean, that is, he's not a speed guy. But dude, that guy can hit, man. He can hit. There's no question.
I'm not questioning his skills at all. It was just my first visual impression didn't match up with what I was, you know what I mean? And then I watched him spray the ball all over the place. Yeah. This kid can play, but it, you know, I was expecting to see Monte Harrison, okay?
Yeah.
That could hit.
Yeah, no.
And
yeah, it's not.
Yeah. You know what else I did, Rich? I just had a couple minutes, and so I put on the Facebook page that we're doing a podcast. If anybody had any questions about Arizona Fall League players, do you want to try answering a couple for something to do?
Sure.
Okay. Hiura. Could he be the starting? This is from John Dean. Could he be the starting second baseman in Milwaukee by June?
July. I think they'll probably keep him down for the let me rephrase the question. Can he be the starting second baseman by the end of the season, sometime second half?
Yeah.
Absolutely. I do not believe, and my love for Jonathan Scope goes very, very deep. He ain't going to be on that team. I can't imagine him on that team. That means that's one obstacle out of the way. Then it's Travis Shaw and others, and I think he's got a buy for playing time, but that kid can hit, and I think they're going to need that. So I definitely think it's a possibility.
Okay, John also had one other question. Name a pitcher who has surprised you so far in the AFL that could break camp with a major league team. Is there anybody?
I think there is a chance, and if you say break camp and you say after you get 7 years of team control, I'll throw that as a caveat. I would not be surprised if Forrest Whitley is up very, very early in the year.
Mm-hmm.
He's that impressive. I think there's that. I think Darwinson Hernandez, your guy, does he break? No, but I think you see him. Duplantier, does he break camp? Maybe. I think you see him. I think there's some guys that are here that have a chance to break camp. But Forrest Whitley is the only one that's here, Tim, from a pitching standpoint, who I think has a chance to be an impact performer. So people need to realize that most of the high-end pitchers don't come to the Arizona Fall League. They only come if they've been hurt or disciplinary reasons, like Forrest Whitley is there or something like that. They need the extra work. So you don't get some of the high-end pitchers. But yeah, there's some relievers that we could go through, but no, those would be my starters. Timmy, I don't know if you want to add to that.
Actually, no, I think you covered off on that absolutely perfect, Rich. There's only one pitcher that I think could break camp with an MLB club next year, right out of spring training, and it's not a starter. I think it's Zach Birdie for the White Sox. I think there's a possibility based on that bullpen that Birdie breaks camp and ends up towards the back end of the, pitching the 7th, 8th inning to start for the White Sox. That's the only pitcher that I think could break camp right away.
I think there's other relievers. I mean, it's a great one, Timmy, and it's a guy that I've long felt, well, he was a closer in college. I think they drafted him in the first or second round. I mean, he was a high draft pick for the White Sox, and had Tommy John surgery, set him back, et cetera. But if you recall the year he was drafted, this is the year he was drafted, starts pitching in June. He was in AAA by August. It's not out of the realm of possibilities that, as soon as he is healthy enough for him to be up in the big leagues. I think it's a great call for you.
They drafted him, like you said, he moved through the system quick, the Tommy John. He's their closer of the future, and I think if he's available in dynasty leagues, I think he should be a target in sub-drafts come spring, those 10-round drafts.
I agree with you, Tim.
Yancey Eaton, our good friend Yancey, wants to know where our thoughts are, and this has nothing to do with the Arizona Fall League, but our thoughts on Brett Honeywell. Are we going to, are we going to see him fairly early in the year, or does he feel more like a June call up to you, Rich?
So I literally just wrote about Brent Honeywell this past week. So did my research there, and my conclusion, I could be wrong, because you're trying to guess Jello here, so where it's going to stick. He did have he was injured in February. I think he had surgery in March. So if you do the math, a year takes you back to March, probably doesn't really start pitching competitively till April or May. And then I think there's a chance you see him end of June, early July. I think that would be the Brent Honeywell, assuming no setbacks. I would think that's the earliest you see him.
Okay. Yeah.
I agree with Yancey. I think it's mid-season kind of thing. I think he's going to be very, very good. By the way, speaking of the Rays organization, Timmy, that is a fantastic system. I think we talked about this maybe at the game. Wander Franco.
He's
really good. It's a shame he's in the Rays organization, because not telling how long it'll be up. But he could be a Juan Soto, 17 years old, Timmy. He could be a Juan Soto guy. He's up 18, 19 years old. And there's that possibility with this kid. He's really, really, really good.
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to even look at tape on the kid, but what you're saying is I should be, right?
Yeah, it's a special bat, Timmy. It's a special bat. He's athletic. He's got speed. He's got great bat speed and can hit. It's good.
Yeah,
and the Rays are just stacked. I can't wait till I publish it and share with him. There's really good players there.
Yeah, I'm looking forward. When are you going to be dropping the Rays, Rich?
The Rays drop on. Let me bring up the spreadsheet, Timmy. The Tampa Bay Rays. Oh, they're not until December 7th, so they are on Pearl Harbor Day. So that's when they get dropped. I think Pearl Harbor was December 7th. I think that's when it was. So yeah.
Yes, it was a date that will live in infamy. Yes, definitely.
Yeah, for sure. Well, Timmy, it sounds like you saw a lot of games. You covered a lot. Any final comments?
Well, yeah, there was just one other question, and it was from our good friend Justin Mason, friends with Fantasy Benefits. And There has to be a comedian, so it was Justin. So he said, if you could dress up as any baseball player for Halloween, who would it be?
Okay. So, I mean, for me, the first name that comes to mind, of course, is Jose Altuve.
Right.
And I would probably dress up with a big middle finger on my standing straight up on my head and point it
right
at you, Mr. McLeod. That's what I would do. Because you are down on the young one. You're down on the little one. You don't even think it's a first-round draft pick. So I'm hoping that Jose Altuve just comes in and is the guy that he was last year in 2017. But that's how I would dress up him. What about you?
Okay. I would dress up as a flying V and go as Kirk Gibson.
That's over my head, Timmy. I think of flying V, I think of the guitar. So is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, I would dress up as
Kirk Gibson
flying
and guitars. So how does that relate? That's over my head.
Gibson guitars, Kirk Gibson.
Gotcha. All right, of course. All right, all right. That was easier than I thought. So, all right, that's a good one, Tim.
That just came to mind. The other thing that came to mind is I could dress up as Yu Darvish and just wear a bear Cubs outfit, dress like a bear cub with my paw in a sling. How's that?
Yeah. Well, speaking of Yu Darvish and his horrible World Series last year, Timmy, we get back. We're going to talk about the world champion Boston Red Sox and what went on there. Now, Tim, you were traveling and missed the last two games of the World Series. Question for you, surprised that it was over in five games?
Yeah, I really was. I was expecting a full seven game series, and I was rather shocked. And you know what, Boston should really send a note to the Toronto Blue Jays thanking them for giving away Mr. Pierce, who ended up playing a fairly significant role. So I think the Red Sox owe the Jays a big thank you and hug. How's that sound?
Yeah, I mean, Timmy, I thought the Astros could beat the Red Sox. Clearly wrong on that.
Yep.
I didn't think the Dodgers could beat the Red Sox. But you're looking at, I don't want to get recency bias going here. You're looking, I think, at a close to historic team. That they played extremely well. They lost two games during their playoff run, and you know they lost one in 18 innings. So that's kind of questionable. And Timmy, I mean, they just dominated throughout, and that starting lineup is just tremendous. I mean, it's tremendous. Now, their pitching is another story. We're going to talk about that. Chris Sale is a little concerning for me. And so was Craig Kimbrell, a little concerning when they got to the, to the closer gig. But man, it's just Mookie Betts didn't hit all that much. But man, it just is. Steve Pearson stepped up, and Mitch Moreland was pinch hitting and hitting home runs. I mean, a lot of their second tier guys just stepped up.
Yeah, you know, and I'm really happy for David Price. I really am. It's nice to see him have a good series. And I find it rather humorous, ironic, call it whatever you want. But if you listened to any Boston sports media, print media, your Boston fans, like, man, they gave it to Price, but good. And I sort of think it's good that now the fans have to eat a little crow and say, David Price was huge in winning the World Series. And I sort of like that.
Yeah, it's funny. Right after the seventh game, I mean, they interviewed him on television. And he said, Boston's a tough place to pitch in. But, hey, we won the World Series, and I feel pretty good about that. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what it is. And he played in these big cities, and he's very you know, baseball fanatical places like New York and Boston and Philadelphia. Mm. I mean, it's tough to play in this because they expect a lot. But he won a World Series for them, and I think that's going to go a long way. And it's funny, Timmy, if you own David Price next year in a fantasy team, as long as you don't play him against the Yankees, I think he's going to be just fine. But I tell you, man, I know you're going to pick him as your number two starter. If he goes up against the Yankees, you cannot put him out there. You just can't do it.
No, you got to bench him until we see something. And we haven't. The only thing we've seen has against the Yankees hasn't been good. And I guess he's decided, surprise of all surprises, he's not opting out.
No, yeah. I think it was $127 million left. It sounds like Clayton Kershaw, they're going to come up with a deal. I read that. So good for guy. Yeah, it would be very weird to see Clayton Kershaw in another uniform.
Yeah. Apparently they extended the deadline until Friday at 4. So it looks like they're trying to work out a long-term deal. And, good for them. He's been a part of the team and the community for a long time. So I have a feeling there'll be an announcement that there's – a 3 or 4 year extension, and Kershaw will basically be a Dodger for life.
Yeah. Let's talk about Chris Sale, Timmy. Look, all throughout the playoffs, he did not look like Chris Sale. And then,
right.
I don't know about you. I mean, you're sitting there waiting for Chris Sale to come out for that game 5. And then it was announced a couple of hours before the game. No, he's not starting. David Price, who I think pitched every game. I mean, he maybe had one day off. I mean, he was out there the whole time. I mean, that was disconcerting to me. And now, sure, Chris Sale came on the pitch. I think it was the 9th inning, because
right.
He got the big hug on the – but, Timmy, it's a little disconcerting when you're going into draft season next year, the shoulder inflammation and what he did in the postseason. Boy, it's a little disconcerting.
Yeah, he could be fine at the same point in time. He could have his shoulder scoped, right? We don't know. We saw the velocity all over the place in the last short while, even before the playoffs. And, I think by the time most of us do our regular league drafts, I think we'll have a very clear definition as to what's shaken down as far as the shoulder is concerned. But for anybody who's getting into any of those, early NFBC draft and holds and starting up a dynasty league, around Christmas, early January, I'd probably lean towards staying away from them because there's some risk sitting there right now, Rich.
I think you said it perfectly. I totally agree. Because I'll do an NFBC draft in January, and I'll do terrible on it because I haven't really done any prep time for it. But in that case, I'm staying away from him. Unless, of course, he drops, then I'll take the risk. But I'm not going to take him as a top three pitcher. You can't until we know that he's healthy, and healthy is throwing 96-97 and looking like Chris Sale. And Clayton Kershaw, Timmy, I feel exactly the same way. The guy was sitting 90 miles an hour. That's concerning.
Yeah, it is.
Walker
Buehler is
–
he's the ace.
Yeah.
He's
got ice water in his veins, too. He's got ice water in his veins, Timmy. He just goes out there and shoves it. Shoves it, walks off the field, says, thank you very much. I'm good. Anybody question me?
the velocity's 96 to 98, as consistent can be. And the breaking stuff is absolutely – Phil, when he drops that curveball in, like he drops a curveball in. Knees are knocking, batter's locked up, and it turns into a spectator sport real quick. Every time I've seen him, I haven't decided yet where I'm going to rank him, but it's probably going to be – it's definitely top 20. And it could be getting very, very close to top 10. I think he's one of the best pitchers in the game, and we haven't even seen a full season from him. That's how high I am.
It's hard to disagree. So, Timmy, let's talk baseball for a moment. So it's the fantasy baseball. the Dodgers aren't going to, I know they've been in the last two World Series, but they're not going to push it over the finish line until they get a lineup that can hit lefties. Because that was the reason they had no chance against the Red Sox. The Red Sox could throw out Price and Sale, and it's game over. Even a diminished Sale, it's game over, Tim. And that's, I mean, it's a problem. And it was a problem last year. They got a little bit better. I know if you play daily fantasy baseball, if you start left-handers against the Dodgers, you just do. And they got to figure that out.
Well, and you know what? Maybe what they've got to do is kind of some of the micromanaging. Like Muncy. Muncy didn't hit that bad against Southpaws, I don't think, did he?
I don't have the stats up to me. I don't know.
Yeah,
you're Mr. Muncy, so I mean, I would think you know that. So, I mean, I think he's brought you lots of championships. So,
yeah, I don't think he's as bad as the way the Dodgers played it, and I think they micromanaged themselves a little bit there. I don't think Cora or Roberts had a real great
World
Series. Roberts
was flat out terrible. He was flat out terrible, Timmy. Just questionable moves with the pitching stuff. It seemed like at any sense, any trouble at all, guy was out. You know, he couldn't figure out what he was doing, and I think he made tons of tactical mistakes. Made a lot of mistakes last year, but this year was really bad. I don't know if it made that much of a difference. I don't think he lost the World Series for him because I think Red Sox were just way better than the Dodgers. They just were. I don't know what they do about that. But I know Dave Roberts. I think he won Manager of the Year. Didn't he win Manager of the Year last year? So, but tactically, he's got some issues.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's let's just say it wasn't the most skillful managing I've ever seen.
No. Well, Timmy, I only want to do a half-hour podcast. We're coming up on 55 minutes. So we're going to wrap this up. But there's one final thing that we're going to talk about. And it is an opportunity for our listeners to get in on Dynasty Leagues. So we run Dynasty Leagues that they're two-year commitment leagues.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you sign up for 2 years, you pay for 2 years. It's $100, $50 a year. All the money gets paid out in prizes except for $10, which goes to league fees, $10 a year. So that's CBS that charges $150. It's actually $149. Yeah. Rich takes the dollar commission. Thank you very much for all my hard work. And because I'm not splitting it up.
You know, Rich, sorry, I'm voting, okay? We got to give you a raise, okay?
Yeah.
Like, a buck is not enough, okay? It really is. not for all that you go through. No.
Okay. So we have four leagues we have five. One of them I got turned into the Wild. But so we have four leagues that I still commission. And and out of those four leagues, there are three openings. Timmy, would you like to hear about these three openings?
Yeah, I would love to. I know that one of them is in DL2, and I think the guy has a Cunha, if I'm not mistaken.
No, there's no openings in DL2. I don't think.
Oh, okay.
Whoa. No, I'm pretty sure DL2 came back all signed up.
Okay.
Wait a minute. You're right. No, Jeremy is out. You're right. There are four openings, Tim.
Okay. You're welcome.
Wow. I'm glad we did that. So, wow. Okay. So, yeah, Jeremy was in, and then he said he had to get out. So let me give me a second, Tim. In fact, let me cut out for a quick break here, and when we get back, I'll have Jeremy's team up, and we can talk about it and give everybody the opportunity here.
Sounds good, Rich.
Okay, everybody, we are back, and we are talking about opportunities in the Dynasty League world, where there are now four opportunities, Tim.
Mm-hmm.
And so let's get into that. So let me still looking for Jeremy's team. What is his what's his team's name? Everybody have all these crazy El Guape. El Guape.
El Guape. Guapo.
El Guape.
Yes.
All right, so we're going to start with first, let me tell you how this works. So if you're interested in any of these leagues, you simply email me at prospect361@gmail.com, prospect361.com at prospect361@gmail.com. And I just need 2 to 3 sentences, no more than one paragraph. Why you want to be in the – first of all, your commitment to be in the league forever. I'm not going to hold you to it, but your commitment to be in the league, why you want to be in the league, and I'm really looking for people who have never played in a Dynasty League. So if you tell me it's your favorite format, this would be your 8th Dynasty League, you're probably not going to get in, because I'm going to give it opportunities for people that have never had a chance to play in a format like this. Now, if you lie to me and say you've never done it and you're in 8 leagues, then there's nothing I can do. But this is really trying to open this up to people who experienced fantasy baseball players, but have always wanted to play in a Dynasty League. They've just never had the opportunity. These are well-run leagues. All the money always gets paid out. I'm as honest as the day is long, so there's never any issues. And no monkey business goes on in these leagues. And I think Timmy will attest to that. I mean, they're fairly well-run leagues.
There are very few leagues that I will personally endorse. Yours definitely is on that list. You run a great league. The money gets paid out. They're well organized. There's no crap. You play the game. You have fun. And if you're lucky, at some point in time, you might own Jose Altuve. By the time
there you go.
Because Rich,
okay.
Rich has got a list. But no, they're great leagues. You can't go wrong playing in any of these leagues. And they're a lot of fun.
Okay. So the money is due. We'll start asking for money probably sometime in December. You'll have until March 1st to pay. We use a site to do all that, League Safe, and I'll send you the constitution and all that kind of stuff. But we're going to give you the four teams. The first one is in DL2. You get a chance to play in that league with myself. I play in all the leagues, but in that league is also myself, the great Tim McLeod. Dr. Mershak plays in that league. Scott Gilroy plays in that league. It's a good league, and I'm not sure anybody's ever won back-to-back in that league. So there's a lot of opportunities. Now, this team is terrible. This team came in 15th place, and most of the teams I'm going to give you, except for one, are bad teams. So these are rebuilds. But the guy's got a good nucleus of young players. He's got Rafael Devers. He's got Gleyber Torres. He has Ronald Acuna. Timmy, he's got Ronald Acuna. So, I mean, there's some talent there in the minor leagues. He's got Luis Robert, Corey Roberts, Tim's buddy, Jamiah Jones. So it's not void of talent, but it's probably several years away from competing. I'm looking at the pitching. He's got terrible pitchers, Timmy. So there's no pitching to talk about there. That's the problem area. So if you're interested in that team, when you send me the note, say I'm interested in a team that has Ronald Acuna on it. So that would be the Acuna team. So it's first one.
Okay.
DL2, Ronald Acuna. The second opportunity, Tim, we have two opportunities in DL3. DL3 is I'm in that league. Some really good players. Nobody quote unquote famous, if you will, or it's been on a radio. Oh, I know. Stupendous Stu is in that league. Really nice guy.
Stu.
He's the balloonist. A really good dude. They're all really good players in this league. But two guys have terrible teams, and they've just said no more. This team has a very poor major league team. But does Tim have Bo Bichette, Eloy Jimenez, and you know, some other? So it's he's got some talent in this team, but it's primarily in the minor leagues. If you're interested in this team that go by Eloy Jimenez, say I'm interested in the Eloy Jimenez team. The other opportunity in DL3, let me bring that team up, actually has Vlad Jr. on the on his team.
Ooh.
So yeah, so I mean that's that would be a lot of fun to own Vlad Jr. in that league. And I'm still looking for, oh, there it is, the Lynchburg Smoking Aces. And let's see, again, a fairly old major league team has Adrian Gonzalez at first base, so that's how old it is. But but he does have Vlad Jr. on the team, so that would be, if you're interested in that, Daz Cameron, he's got LAB, Lewis Alexander Bazaby is there, Kevin Maton, if you still believe in, and he's got Timmy's buddy, Trevor Bauer's on that team, Shohei Ohtani's on that team, Tyler Skaggs, so this has got, there's some talent there. Plus Vlad Jr. So if you're interested in that, DL3, the Vlad Jr. team. The fourth team is actually a bit of a surprise. It's in DL4. I play in that league. Also, the great Alan Sardinas plays in that league. A very, very competitive league. The guy who came in second place, for some reason, had a bailout. Jeremy, I think, wanted to stay in too from DL2 and had a bailout. So not always people bail Tim because they have a lousy team. I mean, that does happen. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you just, you know, life happens and you can't do them anymore. This team came in second place. Has the likes in their major league team of Charlie Blackmon, Lorenzo Cain, Giancarlo Stanton, and a stacked pitching staff of Arrieta, Carlos Carrasco, Garrett Cole, Derek Holland, Kenley Jansen, Roberto Osuna, Max Scherzer. It's a stacked team that came in second place. The minor league system is a little weak, and you expect that. It's hard to have a stacked minor league team and a major league team. But if you're interested in this team, this would be the Giancarlo Stanton team. So review. Prospect361 at gmail.com. Send me a note, couple, three sentences of why you want to be in the league, and then tell me the team that you want to take over. You've got DL2. You've got the team that has Ronald Acuna on it to say, hey, I'm interested in the Ronald Acuna team. DL3, you have the Eloy Jimenez team, which is a very bad team. Or you've got the Vlad Jr. team, I think a slightly better team there, and put one of those. Or DL4, you've got the Giancarlo Stanton team, which is very, very good. You're going to compete there. $100 entry fee, Timmy, for 2 years. There is no discount. Sometimes we do discounts, but there is no discounts because there's going to be such a flood of people wanting to get in this league, so I don't need to discount them. And that comes out of my pocket. Timmy, I am retiring on a fixed income. I just can't fund the money anymore. So
you think about it, Rich, okay? You're looking at 60 teams between the four leagues, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And, yeah, and you've got four openings. That sort of speaks for itself, doesn't it?
Correct. Now, granted, I take up four slots, so and I'm not going to quit. I can't quit. So, but you're right. people stay in these. And both DL2, Timmy, I think we've been going 8 years.
Yeah,
and
I think it's something like that.
Yeah,
yeah,
DL3 and 4 have been going for 6 years. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, if I'm not mistaken, in DL2, we have yet to have a repeat winner. There's been a different winner every year, if I'm not mistaken.
That's correct. And that's very unusual, by the way. Usually you get a really good team, and they'll have a run for 2 or 3 years before the window closes. But DL2, we've not been able to have anybody. And I know when I won last year, I won a DL2. I mean, I had Zach Cozart that went out of his mind. that's what usually happens, that you have some really good core players and you got a good team, but then you have Zach Cozart that, you know, puts up 25 home runs and, you know, a really good batting average, and you win. And that's what's fun with these leagues. So.
Yeah, somebody picks up Ryan Yarbrough and gets 15 bonus wins, and, you know, hey, Thank you. Away you go.
Again, there is a very, very competitive league. If you've never played in the Dynasty League, that's who we'd really like to open these up for. If you're in one Dynasty League and you love it, that's fine. I mean, I'm not going to be a stickler for that. But this is an opportunity to play in really good competitive leagues. And I think if you play in these, you will find that this will become one of your favorite formats. All of these leagues are heavy trading leagues. BL2, a little less so. But DL3 and 4, they trade constantly in these leagues. And they're competitive. You'll be playing with really, really good players. And so it's no cakewalk. If you've dominated ESPN 10-team leagues, Timmy, it's a different ball of wax here. So,
yeah, it's an incredibly different ball of wax, to say the least. It's good players, a good format, well-run. Hey. Ship off those mini resumes, guys, and get in the game. I think whoever ends up with these slots is going to have a lot of fun.
So, I need your responses by Monday, 11:59 p.m. on Monday. I will make the decision on Tuesday or Wednesday, and let the folks know who get into the leagues and. We'll go from there because, Timmy, we have a show this coming Sunday. Hopefully you can do it. And then the following week we are off because I will be on my last trip to India and I just don't have time to do it. So we'll take a week off. But anyway, I want to get all this stuff taken care of for that. So Monday, 11:59 p.m. is when you got to have your mini little resume in. Timmy, it's a wrap, my friend.
Great seeing you, Rich. It was a blast. I wish it could be longer, but I certainly understand. You know, we have busy lives. And again, thanks for the pineapple crush. Thanks for the wonderful conversation this evening. And safe travels, my friend. Have a good balance of your stay in Arizona.
You too, Timmy, and everybody. Enjoy the off season. We'll be here with you every Sunday evening, or at least sometime most Sunday evenings, and we're gonna get through the boredom of November. November's the worst baseball month ever because December you have the winter meetings, you start to have some signings, but November's boring.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing happens in November, so. But we're gonna be here with you.
Well, and you know what? Maybe we'll end up doing some of those. Those interviews that I like so much, and our listeners as well. And again, talking prospects. When you play the prospect game, it never ends, does it?
It does not. So, Timmy, that on Sunday we will do the NL Central, and Timmy will be interviewing me about. And Timmy, it's going to be harder now. No longer 50 prospects, man. You've got 50% more prospects now to ask me questions about.
That means I might have to do some researching. Is that not correct?
Exactly. And, Timmy, I got to tell you, man, some of those prospects from 11 to 15 are young Latin players, and pronouncing them their names is going to be a real challenge. So,
I tell you what the trick is, Rich, okay, and it's really simple, okay? All I do is I focus on about three players and then say, well, is there anybody else that you think is relevant, Rich?
Yeah. Well, I'm on to you, Timmy. I'm on to you, Tim. I go, what do you think of Tim? I go, what do you think of prospect 14? And I go, I'll get you to try to pronounce the name that's got that 12 syllables in it. So I'll work on that. All right, Tim.
Well, thank
look,
you very
be
much.
Well, my friend.
Almost...
Safe travels back and enjoy the rest of the games.
Sounds good. We'll be talking to you soon, Rich. Bye-bye.
All right, bye now.